So they come in and they sit down, and my mom is just like crying, silently crying while she sits next to him. And he says, I met you and your mom at the same time when you were 2 months old.
Hello, you are listening to NPE Stories. This is a podcast where NPEs can share their story. I am your host, Lily, and I found out I was an NPE through an ancestry DNA test that changed my life forever. NPE is a term that stands for not parent expected or non-paternal event. This means that one or more of our parents are not who we believe them to be. NPE Stories is a podcast where NPEs can share their story of what their original family was like, how they found out they were an NPE, and what their journey has been like since the day they found out. Hi, listeners of NPE Stories. The following episode is a collaboration with the host of DNA Surprises, Alexis Auerselt, and myself. On this episode, I interview Alexis, and we get to hear her story and a bit about the work that she does with DNA Surprises, her podcast, as well as her retreats. Also, go over to DNA Surprises, her podcast, and this week she has interviewed me. You get a little bit of an update about where I'm at with my own personal NPE story, and we talk on her episode as well. So here is the episode. And welcome to episode 177. And today I am speaking with Alexis. Hi, Alexis.
Hi, Lily. Thank you for having me.
It's so good to see your smiling face again.
It's so good to see you too. It's been, oh, I don't know, 6 months or something since we last saw each other at the Root Summit.
How was that for you? How was the summit?
I loved it. It was incredible to be with so many people who understand you. I mean, I don't know how many people total there were, well over 200, I think, right? And yeah, it was such an awesome opportunity. And also just to connect with people that I've seen online for so long and, you know, exchanged messages with, but to actually get to see each other and hug each other in person was just amazing. How was it for you?
It was amazing. And I also had high cortisol and adrenaline probably throughout the weekend and then the days afterwards, because a lot was coming up for me, just talking about family and estrangement and the secret, because you were surrounded by so many people that just get it, other NPEs and adoptees. And so it was great, but it definitely stirred up a lot for me. It really did.
Yeah.
And you and I were on a panel together at that summit. Can't remember what it was called. It was something about a panel for podcasters.
Yeah, it was us with Eve and Damien from Who Am I Really? Eve from Everything's Relative. And then Louise from You Look Like Me.
Gosh, you did so good remembering everyone. And you're a podcaster. People might recognize your voice. You have a podcast called DNA Surprises, right?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about this.
Yeah. So I had my NPE in July of 2021, and I had actually coincidentally that month ended a podcast that I had with a friend. And I knew I wanted to do another podcast. I wasn't really sure what I was going to do. Was just kind of sitting with it and thinking, okay, something will come up eventually. And a couple of weeks later, I had my DNA surprise. And obviously, I took some time to process that. But one of the things that I realized very quickly would help me was connecting with other people and hearing their stories and kind of using productivity, you know, creating a project, having some sort of creative outlet was also really helpful for me. So I think in October, November, I sort of put out a call saying, hey, I think I'm going to start a podcast. I knew about yours. I knew about Eve's. And some people reached out to me and it launched in January 2022. And I am now in season 6. So it's been amazing to get to connect with so many people and hear their stories and hopefully help others too.
Oh, that's so wonderful. And do you have a partner, a co-host, or are you the host?
I'm the host and I schedule the guests. I edit the podcast. I am lucky my husband was an audio engineer in a past life, so he masters for me.
I'm so envious.
Yeah, I would not know how to do that if not for him. So yes, he supports me there and that's been amazing. Other than that, it's a one-woman show, just like
you. That's right. Yep, that's right. I hear you. Okay, so Debbie is not, because I met Debbie with you at the summit. That must be through another community activity you have.
Okay. Yes. So Debbie is a co-founder along with me for the DNA Surprise Retreat. So we founded a retreat for people that have had DNA surprises, whether it's late discovery adoptees, donor-conceived people who found out later in life, obviously the NPE community, and then kind of these other DNA surprise sort of things that happen that don't necessarily fit perfectly in the box of one of those three, but really for anyone who's had kind of shocking DNA results in some capacity.
Oh my goodness. So you're hosting retreats as well. I love that.
Yes. We had our first one May 2023. It was incredible. We had 15 people join us in Arizona, and we are currently planning our 2024 retreat, which I guess I can give the scoop here. It's going to be September 19th through the 22nd, 2024 in Phoenix. So we will be releasing more information about that soon. But if anyone who's listening, I'll go ahead and plug. You can go to dnasurpriseretreat.com and sign up for our newsletter and you'll find out when registration will open.
Oh, that's so exciting. Thank you so much for sharing that. I know people will be interested to hear. I will put the link for all of this below in the show description if you want to scroll down and take a look at that. Let's get into your story today. I know just like little tiny bit of it. So how it works on this podcast is people will give a little bit of background story on their childhood, who their raising family was, and we'll take it from there. Okay. So tell me who was in your family of origin growing up.
So I grew up with my mom and dad, and I'm the oldest. And then I had a sister who was born about 2.5 years after me, Amanda. And then when I was 14 years old, I had a baby sister born, and that was Amy. And so that was my immediate family growing up, my mom and dad. And as far as I knew, I was multi-ethnic, and I always knew that growing up. So my dad is Mexican-American, specifically like of indigenous and Spanish roots. So that was my understanding of my background. And then my mom is of European descent. So descendant from British Isles, Germany, Irish, all of those things that generally are white people in the United States. So that was my understanding of my background. I would say it was a pretty quote unquote normal childhood. I was an Air Force brat and grew up here in Tucson, Arizona for the most part, and really had no suspicions at all about any sort of secrets or anything that my parents might have been keeping. But the first recollection I have of something being not quite right was when I was 8 years old. My mom told me just kind of randomly one evening that my parents were not married when I was born. And at that time, I was shocked because that's just not what people did. That's not anything that I knew about. I didn't realize that that was something people did as an 8 year old. And the story that she told me was that they met in Spain overseas. They were both stationed there, started dating. And then shortly after they started dating, don't know exactly how long, she became pregnant. And at that time, my dad offered to marry her and she declined because she wasn't just going to marry him just because she was pregnant. And they continued to date. They dated for 9 months and then they were married at that point. So I was 9 months old when they were married. And that was really, really shocking to me. But as I got older, I thought it was really cool because I identify as a feminist and, you know, looking at my mom and saying, oh, she was independent. She wasn't just going to marry someone and depend on him. I really respected that about her and proudly told that part of my story. And then later on, it kind of became an ongoing joke because I would kind of ask, well, how soon after you guys started dating did you end up pregnant? And she would kind of just brush me off or say, just stop asking about it. And I didn't know why. I just thought maybe she was embarrassed. Like maybe she got pregnant like right away, like within the first week or something of meeting him. Or, you know, I didn't know. And I had no judgment around it, but she wouldn't tell me anything. And she also would never tell me what time I was born. And I'm not super into astrology or anything like that, but my sisters are. And so they wanted to do like my birth chart and map all this stuff out. So I would always ask my mom, what time was I born? And she would say, I don't know. It was in the morning. I remember that it was in the morning. It was 10:20, 10:30, 11:30, kind of just giving me all these different times. And I always thought that was strange, but I didn't really realize that it's because there was a secret associated with my birth. I also knew that my dad wasn't there when I was born, but I don't really remember if I was ever given a reason. It might have been that he was working or maybe they weren't together at that time. I honestly can't remember, but he wasn't there when I was born. Mm-hmm. And again, I think it was just, it was presented as so matter of fact that I didn't actually think about how odd it was that my dad wasn't there for my birth. Partially, I think, too, because in the military, that does happen. Okay. So people get stationed overseas, they go TDY during the times that their spouses are giving birth. And so sometimes they do miss births. So I didn't really push too hard on why weren't you there. I really struggled with my racial identity growing up, more so than my sisters. And I never really understood why until later when everything kind of started to make sense. But I never really felt like I fit in with the Mexican culture that I was around. I wanted to. And in Arizona, it's very prevalent. There's a large, strong Mexican culture in the Southwest. And so I think everybody who lives here to some degree identifies with it. But I never really felt like this super deep connection. And I always felt like I was trying to. I was the one who was on Duolingo trying to learn Spanish and, you know, taking my kids to events, you know, later in life. In high school, I tried to, you know, hang out with the I went to a predominantly white high school, but there was like a group of Mexican kids that would hang out and I would try to hang out with them, but they would speak Spanish and I didn't speak Spanish and I felt like I didn't fit in, but I wanted to. And so very much just always felt like, you know, square peg, round hole. And it was just interesting because I didn't see my sisters have that same struggle. Mm-hmm. I wrote college papers about how different I felt and how hard it was for me to feel like connect and sort of just ended up in this liminal space of feeling like I'm just in between, like I'm just brown. I don't know what that means. I'm mixed race, multi-ethnic, whatever you want to call it. But I kind of stopped trying, I think, at a certain point to really fit in as much as I wanted to. So growing up, I was always questioned about my ethnicity. Like I said, my mom is white. And so when she would be out with me and my younger sisters, we would get asked if we were adopted because we were darker than her and just still associated that with being Mexican, nothing else. But as I got older, I got questioned a lot more than my sisters about what I was, the dreaded "are you" question. And I would get anything from Pacific Islander, Italian, but most often I would get asked if I was Black. And I would always say, no, I'm not. I'm Mexican. I'm multi-ethnic. This is just how I turned out. I don't know why I look like this, but my dad is Mexican. And really, that just that has followed me throughout my entire life, from when I was very young and I had very curly hair and tan skin, to when I got older. Even if I was straightening my hair, I would still get these questions about what are you? And I never suspected. I just thought this was how I looked because that's what I believed, because that's what my parents told me.
Do you resemble your sisters or your mom?
I do. I think if my sisters and I look alike. In hindsight, I look back at pictures and I'm like, oh yeah, you do kind of look a little bit different. Mm-hmm. But we looked similar enough that I never suspected.
Yeah. How did you find out you were an NPE?
So 2021, I bought a DNA test, an ancestry DNA test, because it was on sale for Prime Day. And I know that that's common. A lot of people buy these tests when they're on sale, thinking it'll just be fun. And that's exactly what I did. I'd had it on my wish list for years and no one had bought it. And again, you look back and you're like, that's probably why. But I bought it for myself. I thought it was just going to be a fun thing to do. It came in and I spit in the tube, sent it off. And I was really just curious about learning more about my ethnicity, specifically my indigenous side, because that was something that my paternal grandmother had been researching at the time of her death. And she died way before commercial DNA testing was prevalent. So I thought, this will be cool. This will be something that I can like pick up and really narrow down. Where does that side of my family come from? But I had no questions or suspicions. I wasn't looking to connect with family. I was really just kind of curious about that breakdown and thought it would be fun. So I sent it off. And I think about 6 weeks later, was July 22nd. I remember the day. It was a Thursday. And I was sitting at my desk. I had just taken a promotion at work and I was about to jump on a meeting. And I was kind of scrolling my phone, killing a couple minutes before the meeting started. And I got an email saying that my ancestry results were ready. So I clicked on the email and I opened it up and I went to the ethnic component first, because that's really what I was interested in. And instantly saw that there was nothing Hispanic, nothing from the Mexico region, nothing from Spain, nothing Latin at all on my results. What I did see was, of course, the European side from my mom. So I saw Great Britain, the UK, Ireland, and so on. But my eyes were really drawn to the fact that most of my countries that were highlighted were in Africa and North Carolina. And I was very confused. It said Nigeria, Cameroon, Ghana. And then when I clicked on the North Carolina result, it kind of popped up. It said early North Carolina African Americans. And I just feel like all the blood drained from my body. I was so confused. I did not understand. And I just kept looking, like trying to see if there was something tying me to Mexico. And there was nothing. So I flipped over to my matches. And at the top, I had a parent-child match with someone that I did not know. And it had a username. It was like a first name plus a bunch of numbers. And so I couldn't tell what their name was. I kind of kept scrolling and I matched with a brother that I did not know and a sister that I did not know. And I just kept thinking that there had to be a partial mistake. It's like, okay, this is what happened. They swapped. Somehow there was a mix-up in the lab or in the mail or something. And they're showing me all these results, but these aren't my results. And I'm going to have to call. Of course, this would happen to me. Like, that was my whole attitude about it. But as I kept scrolling down and looking at my results, I saw my uncle, my mom's brother, in the results. And I always laugh because just the mental gymnastics I think that we do when we have these surprises, I instantly went, oh, it must be a partial mistake. Like, so part of the DNA got messed up, right? Like, this is still wrong. So I just kind of kept clicking back and forth, like trying to make sense of it. And then I called my sister that's 2 years younger than me. And I said, I just got these results on Ancestry, and it's saying that dad's not my dad, and it's saying that I'm Black. And she was speechless. She had no idea. She didn't know what to say. She was like, call mom. So I then called my mom. She answered the phone, and I told her what I saw. And I was like, is there any way that this is real? And she just kept saying, this is so shocking. But just like that, like, this is really shocking. This is really surprising. And I kept thinking, you don't sound shocked. What's going on? And she asked me what test I took. I told her it was Ancestry. And then I asked again, could it be a mistake? And then she kind of made a sort of joke. And she was like, well, these test results seem to be accurate on Maury. And I was like, is she joking right now? I don't understand. So then I said, can you please talk to dad? Because my parents are still married. They live together. And I knew he was home. I didn't want to bring it up to him because I wasn't sure if maybe my mom had something she needed to tell him. And I didn't want to wade into that. So I said I was going to buy a paternity test to validate, and hung up. I mean, she didn't apologize. She kind of just said it was surprising, and it was all just very odd. So then I called my husband because he was out of town visiting his dad when this happened and couldn't reach him. So then I called my best friend, and at that point I started crying, and it kind of started hitting me that this was real. And you know, she was speechless too. And, you know, I'm lucky. My best friend is a therapist. So she's actually pretty good at kind of knowing what to say. But even she was just like, I'm so sorry. And kind of just comforted me. And then I think, like many people who are high performing people pleasers, I hung up the phone with her, and then I joined my meeting for work. And sat there completely dissociated. I don't remember the phone call. I really don't remember the rest of that day too much, and just went through. Later that afternoon, I went to the gym because I was like, I need to just do something. I need to like move my body. And I felt sick the whole time. And afterwards, I called my baby sister and I told her what I saw. And she was like, okay, I'm coming over. My sisters came over that night and we hung out, and I just kept saying over and over again, is this real? Is this really happening? Is this real? Like just constantly, like every 5 minutes, I just kept asking, could it be a mistake? My middle sister, I think, wanted to be supportive of me and say, maybe it is a mistake. But my youngest sister was like, no, this is real. Also that afternoon, my mom texted me and she said, I talked to your dad. And we were both seeing other people at the time that I got pregnant with you. So it's possible, but he's still your dad and he loves you. And I just remember being like, what? That's kind of big information to not share with me my whole life. She asked me how I was doing, and I said I was not doing good. And she said, me neither. And then I texted my dad and I asked for him to come over, and he didn't. He went to work. And my parents live 5 minutes from me. So this was very odd that they weren't like coming over. They weren't really reaching out to me. Wow. I was so confused. And then the next day they said, can we come over? And I said, yes. And they both came over together. And I opened the door and my dad walks in first. And I give him a big hug, because at that point, my understanding of the situation was that maybe my mom had lied about something and he didn't know and was probably feeling devastated. He's very close with my kids. Like, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, like these are his biological grandchildren that are now not his biological grandchildren. And all of these thoughts through my head felt like just so much distress for how he was probably feeling in addition to myself. So they come in and they sit down, and my mom is just like crying, silently crying while she sits next to him. And he says, I met you and your mom at the same time when you were 2 months old.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So he knew, they both knew, that I was not biologically his. And the story that they then told me, so this is the truth as I know it today, is that my mom had a boyfriend. It was an abusive relationship. And when she became pregnant, he was not happy about it. And they broke up. And so she went through the pregnancy alone. She had me alone in the hospital with just a friend there, I believe. And then when I was 2 months old, she met my dad. They started dating, and he said he fell in love with me and fell in love with her. And he decided that he wanted to raise me as his own child. And so together, they decided that they were going to say he was my biological father. And so the next question I had was, who knew about this? And a lot of people knew. I had aunts and uncles. My grandmothers knew. And that was really the part where I feel like I broke down, was because of this realization that so many people knew something about me that I did not know about myself was deeply hurtful. And then the other twist to the story is that the person that they believed was my biological father was not. So they thought that it was this abusive person that they were going to protect me from and keep me away from. And that's why they chose this. He was also Hispanic of Puerto Rican descent, which for anyone listening, from time to time, I'll get corrections on this. So I do just want to call this out. Okay. Many Puerto Rican people have African DNA. It's very much a mixed culture, very blended culture. And so in the past, I've had people tell me, well, are you sure? Because maybe your father, you know, had this DNA. No, my biological father is African American. He has no ties to Puerto Rico or anything like that. So, and he was more of like a predominantly of Spanish descent Puerto Rican man. And so they thought that I was Puerto Rican all my life, which, you know, is not the same as Mexican American, but that's what their belief was. And so they were just as surprised as I was to find out that I was Black.
Did your mom then know who your biological father was?
She did not. I don't know to this day what happened, because he doesn't really remember her either. I imagine that it was just something of them being young, meeting. It probably was maybe a one-night stand, maybe a short-lived thing. I don't know for sure. And that's one of the things I've had to make peace with, is that I'll probably never know, because neither of them really remembers each other.
Really? They both don't?
They both don't. Yeah. Okay. So at that point, I told them that I just needed to have some space to try to process it all. And so they left, and it was a very hard weekend, a lot of tears, just trying to take care of my kids while my husband was out of town, just trying to work through it all. And he came home. And then that Monday, I just instantly was like, okay, I need to start doing something. And so I reached out to another one of my friends and asked for therapist recommendations. I found a therapist, sobbed to her on the phone, and was like, I need help with this, you know, got to figure this out, and made that appointment. And then later that afternoon, I got a message on Facebook from someone who I determined was my sister. So I had been doing, in addition to just trying to survive the weekend, I was doing a lot of research trying to figure out who this man was, because my mom didn't know who he was. And I didn't want to reach out because I wasn't really sure what was going on. And I also took the advice of my friend, the therapist, who said, you know, maybe don't reach out until you're ready for whatever outcome there might be. And I wasn't in a place to handle rejection. So I was just trying to find out as much as I could without actually contacting anyone. So I'd kind of narrowed it down, I found, at first I thought this one man was through kind of looking through obituaries and that kind of thing and matching. And then I found his brother, and his brother had been in the military and outlined all the places he'd been, including Spain. And then I realized that's my dad, not the other one. So I'd kind of piece some of it together, but I couldn't quite figure out who the siblings were and or anything like that. And then on this Monday afternoon, I get a message from Elena, and she says, "Hi, I think we might be related. No pressure," kind of thing, like, "if you want to talk." And I said, "Yeah, I think we are related and I do want to talk." And so we got on the phone and we talked for about 45 minutes. And I got a lot of confirmation. Yes, her dad was in Spain at this time. She was younger than me. So shortly after whatever had happened with my mom, he then met his future wife and they got married and then they had a family. And so that's where she came from. And she said, "Okay, I will tell him that he needs to check his ancestry." And I was very grateful to her for that, because then it took it off of me to reach out to him and try to make that connection. She said that her brother and her mom, her parents have since divorced, told her not to reach out to me, because they were like, she may not know. She may not know that she's Black, and she may not want to be Black, which was not even something that I had thought about. They were from the South, so he grew up in North Carolina, and then they were military, and they ended up retiring in Alabama. So there's a lot of history there, and their experience of race in the United States obviously is different than mine, because I thought that I was Mexican my whole life. So to me, I was like, "What do you mean I wouldn't want to be Black?" And that was really shocking, but that was very eye-opening to me. And I said, "No, that's not an issue at all. Like, I'm so glad you reached out." And then she went to her dad and told him to look at his results. And he was dismissive of her, because I guess they have another Alexis in their family. So he was like, "That's your cousin," or something. Like, he just was like, "No, that's not." And she's like, "No, you really need to check." And so he went on there and looked, and he saw me. And then he messaged me and gave me his phone number to call him. And I called him, and he was amazing. He was so kind to me and wanted to know about me, wanted to know about my family, asked me for some information about my mom, but it kind of became clear that he didn't really remember her. And from there, we just continued talking and building a relationship. So that was all in July. And then fast forward to November, Veterans Day 2021, I flew out to Alabama with my husband, and I met him and my sister. And they showed me around. They took me to like historical museums, which was really powerful. They took me out to really good restaurants. We spent time at his house. And that was just so awesome. And I know that you have talked to many people in our community, and that is not always the outcome for people. And so I just have so much gratitude that they were so open to me. So much so that my sister actually invited me to her wedding the next month. And aww. I went back solo because my husband was sick, but it was cool because I got to spend a lot of one-on-one time with them as a family. And that was so special. And then in March, they came out to Arizona to visit me. And at that point, they met my parents. And oh, wow. We actually had a little get-together at my house. And so cool. It was really, really cool. And so ever since then, you know, we don't talk as frequently. I think in the beginning, there's that excitement and you're just trying to learn as much as you can about each other. But since that time, I've been to a family reunion. I got to meet my grandfather before he died. I got to meet cousins. I've met siblings. And it's really been awesome on that side to just connect and feel so accepted. Mm. On the flip side, it's been a bit of a journey with my raised family. I feel like My sisters and I grew a lot closer because of it, but my relationship with my parents definitely became strained. And while I did have a lot of anger and grief about my DNA surprise, I think a lot of it really just came from them because I really wanted to move forward and I wanted to try to, you know, I knew things might not be the same, but didn't want distance between us. And whether because of their own shame, you know, I don't know. I have definitely spent a lot of time trying to psychoanalyze why things happened the way they did. But there were about, I don't know, a year and a half at least of a lot of struggle and a lot of distance, specifically with my mom. And that's been super painful for me because I have always felt very close to my mom. And so to all of a sudden feel very distant from her was very hard.
Mm.
Yeah.
Did they ever, your parents, your mom and dad, did they ever check in on you or say sorry or are you okay? Do you feel like you were supported by them after finding this out?
No, I don't. That day after, she asked how I was doing, and I don't really know if she's asked me how I've done with it all since, which is just strange. It's very, you know, my dad ended up kind of having a come to Jesus talk with him at one point and said, like, look, you're my dad and I miss you and I feel like you're not making any effort and I need you to, basically. And so he does. He will check in. He'll say, I hope you're having a great week, that kind of thing. But he does not ask me about this piece of my life, really. Every now and then he will, but then he's like, I don't know if you feel comfortable talking about it. And I do, because it really is now a part of my life, but I'm very sometimes worried about making them feel uncomfortable or bringing awkwardness to the room or anything like that. So, you know, we don't talk about my podcast. We barely talked about the retreat. Every now and then I'll hear, you know, how's Cliff? How's Elena? Cliff is my father. Elena's my sister. But not too often. And I think that that's, I'll be curious when I interview you if you've had this similar thing of you really start to recognize a lot of patterns in your family that maybe you didn't recognize before. And one of those patterns for my family is that we don't talk about really heavy stuff like that. And so we avoid. We'll have get-togethers and spend time together, but we do not talk about the elephant in the room. And I think that that's also what created some distance for a while, because when you have this big thing happening in your life and you're just pretending like it's not happening, it's strange.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think I just got tired at a certain point of feeling like I was putting in a lot of the effort to maintain the relationship and move forward while I was also trying to process my NPE and get to know all these new people and take care of myself and everything else. So I kind of backed off for a while. And then I think the distance grew more. But now I think we're kind of headed on a better trajectory, I hope. I feel like I'll never like lose hope that maybe things will feel better with my family.
You have kids, right?
I do. I have two. I have a almost 10-year-old son and a 6-year-old daughter.
How did that go with them finding out about your NPE and how, well, I guess it affected them as well? Or do they know even?
Yes, they do know. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was very important to tell them. And I don't think I named it as like breaking generational curses and generational patterns at the time. Now I do. But back then, I was just like, I want to be honest about what's going on. I mean, they could see that I was a mess. I was not doing okay. I was short-tempered. I was crying a lot, especially in the first couple of weeks. And I thought it was really important that they understood what was happening. So just at a very high level, I explained to them that I found out from the DNA test that I took that their grandma and Tata didn't make me the same way that me and their dad made them. My biological father is somebody else. And it's very upsetting and hurtful to me because it was a secret, but I'm going to be okay. And that's what we said. And they just accepted it. They really didn't think too much of it. They were sort of, you know, they've had questions since, like, oh, so does this mean we're Black? Like, what does this mean? Yeah. You know, my husband's white, so they really look pretty white. And, you know, I feel like that's all stuff that we're just going to have to figure out as we go. Mm-hmm. But in terms of the surprise, they really didn't have any issues or concerns. I do think that the distance with my parents was hard because they used to spend a lot of time with them and then they stopped. And I'm sure that that was sort of confusing. They've also, you know, witnessed me just being emotional, saying that I missed my mom or missed our relationship, and try to be vulnerable and let them know what's happening, because I don't want them to just think that I'm like upset and they don't know, you know, they want to help me or they don't understand. And so I just try to approach it from a high level. But they've since met him. He's been here, and then we've gone there as a family as well. And that's their Papa Cliff.
So they do consider him like a grandpa figure.
Yes.
Because he is.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And he really embraced it.
And now your sister, Elena, your new half-sister, Elena, has she taken on the aunt role with your children?
She has. You know, it's a little bit challenging because of the distance. So, you know, she had a baby recently, and like, I'm Auntie Alexis, like, totally. And I've gotten to meet the baby. And so I think we are as much as we can be, but it is challenging because of the distance. They are just naturally closer to the sisters that I was raised with because of proximity.
Yeah. So you have found out you are half Black. How has this affected your life? How has this affected you?
I'm still figuring that out. I think in a lot of ways, it's made so many things make sense. So the fact that I never really felt like I fit in with the Mexican side of my family, obviously it's because I wasn't, you know, I'm not Afro-Latina, like come from an African-American family. So that part of it, I appreciate because it gave me clarity about who I am and where I come from. I also have always kind of been drawn to like more African-American pop culture things. And so a lot of that has like, oh, that makes sense now. This is why I was drawn to that. One of my favorite examples is I've always thought that like head wraps and things like that are just beautiful. And as recently as, I don't know, 6 months before my NPE, I remember like texting my sisters, would it be cultural appropriation if I got this? I don't know if I feel comfortable like wearing it, but I just think they look so beautiful. And, you know, I love like Ankara print dresses and all of these things, which are not necessarily, you know, other people can wear them. But it explained, like, I just was so drawn to that. But I think there's also a huge piece where I feel robbed of learning and really deeply connecting to that part of my heritage. Because I grew up in Arizona, there's not a large African American or Black population here. It's challenging to try to find things here that I can go do, and like events and museums and things here that are part of that culture. So that's why when I go and I visit the South, I really try to just kind of soak up everything and at some point want to sit down with Cliff and like interview him and just record him and hear all about his childhood, like in detail, and just to have more of a deeper connection to that part of me. And then in the meantime, I'm trying to bring in like recipes and other things that just make me feel a little more tied to that.
That is such a huge ethnicity shift. Sidebar, I was just thinking of Cara Rubinstein and how you two are
the flip.
You're the flip. Yes.
I know.
Just leave that in. The founder of Right to Know. Always believing that she was half Black and finding out she was not. And here then, yeah, the ethnicity shift is not something that I've experienced. So when I listen to these stories, I'm like, gosh, you have so many layers to this that you're unfolding. Right.
Yeah. And, you know, that's one of the things whenever I interview people, I'm always curious, like, what do you do to get in touch with it? And a lot of people say things like, you know, reading books and recipes. I think food is such a good way to connect with other cultures generally. Mm-hmm. And so that's really been a cool thing for me to do because it's something I can do at home and on my own.
And you're really involved in the NPE community. You host a podcast, you host retreats, you attend events, you speak with other NPEs, you speak with the community. What else have you found helpful in processing all of this?
Therapy. I'm the biggest therapy champion in the world, I think. And I always tell people, if you don't find somebody that you like, it doesn't mean that therapy generally is not for you. It's all about finding the right fit. I'm very lucky that the first therapist that I found for this, she did not specialize in NPEs or DNA surprises or anything, but she was just an excellent DBT grief trauma therapist. So I always tell people, like, if you can't find somebody who specializes in NPEs, because this is relatively like new at the forefront, you know, of conversation, grief and trauma, and find somebody that you can really connect with. And she has helped me script out conversations that I have to have with my parents, with other family members. It's just been, that's definitely been the biggest thing. And then, yeah, connecting with other people. Doing the podcast has been very healing for me because I get to have these very intimate conversations with people and see so many commonalities between us. Like, all of our stories are a little bit different, but we all understand each other. So I think those two things, therapy and then connecting directly with other people, has helped me the most.
I love it. I'll put in links here for your podcast. And if people wanted to get in touch with you, Alexis, what is the best way for them to do that?
So you can find my podcast at dnasurprisespodcast.com. You can find me on Instagram at dnasurprises, TikTok at dnasurprises. And if you want to email me to either share your story or just connect, you can reach me at dnasurprises@gmail.com.
Alexis, thank you so much. This was really your idea to do this. And I think it was wonderful we were able to connect and just hear your full story today. So thank you so much for setting the time aside and coming up with this idea. And thank you for sharing your story.
Well, thank you so much for having me. And thank you for everything that you do in the community. I always say that you and Eve are like the OGs in this space. And you've helped so many people, myself included. So thank you.
These stories are here for us to identify with. If you are an NPE and would like to share your story, email npestories@gmail.com. You do not have to give any identifying information. If you are an NPE and would like to share your story, I'd like to hear from you. Subscribe to this podcast to hear more. Come heal with us.